Thank you so much for joining us today. We would love to hear how God is using this ministry to touch your life. So please, take a minute and send us your story to mystory@crossroadscb.org. And if God has used this ministry to touch your life in any way, we want to encourage you, partner with us financially. Help us continue delivering God's word to the world. You can visit crossroadscb.org to find the giving option that works best for you. Thanks again for joining us and enjoy today's message.
Well, we're starting a brand new sermon series today titled Troubles. Everyone say troubles. We all have troubles. Everyone in this place, those listening online, have troubles. No one is exempt. We all have troubles, and some of you are trouble. Someone's thinking, no one knows the troubles I've seen, Pastor. The title of my sermon today is Troubled. Everyone say troubled. How many are troubled today? Troubled in mind? Troubled in heart? Troubled in spirit? Circumstances, situation, marriage, finances. How many are troubled? We're living in troubled times, in a troubled world. Our culture is troubled today. We're troubled as a nation, and we're in trouble as a nation. But listen, we were in trouble before 2020. COVID isn't our only trouble. No, it added to the list of troubles that we already have. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:8, we are troubled in every way. We are troubled culturally, politically, racially, ethically, morally, economically, and more importantly, spiritually. We're troubled in every way. Some say we're more divided today than ever before. If you watched the debate this past week, you might feel like we're in real trouble. Church, we're in great trouble. Our freedoms are in jeopardy. Our rights and liberties are under attack. And if you're not troubled by what we're facing, you're troubled. Our great nation is in great trouble. But the good news is, no matter how troubled we are, no trouble is too much trouble for our God. I said, no trouble is too much trouble for our God. Psalms 46:1 says that God is our refuge and He is our strength and a help in times of trouble. Another translation says He's a very present help in our times of trouble. In the Voice translation, it says, when troubles seem near, God is near. So no matter how near your troubles seem today, God is near. What troubles? All of your troubles. All of your difficulty. All of the storms in life. All of the situations that you're facing today, although they seem near and they are real, God is nearer than the troubles that we face. Through this series, we're going to go back to the Old Testament and look at a guy named Nehemiah. Everyone say Nehemiah. Like us, Nehemiah had some great concerns for his great nation. And like us, Israel was a troubled nation. And although we all consider America a great nation, we consider that, right? America is a great nation, and some of us feel like it's the greatest nation in the world, but I've got news for you. Israel is the greatest nation because Israel is God's nation. His favor is upon His nation. His favor is upon this nation. But Israel is the greatest because it's God's nation. But let this sink in. The greatest nation has seen the greatest troubles. And think about it, you and I are spiritual Israelites. And so if the nation of Israel has seen the greatest trouble, we as citizens spiritual citizens will see great troubles in this life. But the good news is, no trouble is too much trouble for our God. And when troubles seem near, church, God is near. In Psalms 51, verse 15, the Bible says that God will be with us in troubles. And in the Message Bible, it says that He will get you out of any trouble. Praise God. Only God can get us out of this trouble we're in. Only God. When troubles seem near, understand that your God is near. In all of the troubles that you face in this life. Let's jump into the Word. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 1. The Bible says these are Nehemiah's words. I'm going to skip to verse 2 because we don't need to mispronounce all of those names. Verse 2, one of my brothers arrived with some men from Judah. I asked them about the Jews who had survived captivity and about Jerusalem. They told me those who survived captivity are in the province. They are enduring serious troubles and being insulted. The Contemporary English Version says they are having all kinds of troubles. How many feel like you're having all kinds of troubles this morning? The wall of Jerusalem has been broken down and its gates have been destroyed by fire. Can we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, God, I pray that as we break the bread of life today, you would anoint your word. You would anoint every ear, every heart, every mind, and every life. And God, as your word is brought forth, that every word that proceeds out of my mouth would come from your heart, Father, into your children's ears, and it would be received. Anoint the receiver right now. Anoint their hearts, their minds, their ears, and their eyes. Anoint their ears to hear, their eyes to see, their minds to conceive, and their hearts to receive. Right now. If you're ready to receive, say, I'm ready. Speak, God. In your mighty name, we pray. Amen. Amen. In verse 2, the Bible says that Nehemiah questioned the status and the condition of the Jewish remnant, those who survived the exile. And like Nehemiah, church, we need to question the status and the condition of the remnant today, the remnant being the church. This word remnant means escaped, but it also means separated, which should be the case for the church today. The church should escape from culture. We have to escape this current cultural mindset, and we have to separate ourselves from the current cultural lifestyle. We can't blend in. We have to stand out. And to stand out doesn't just mean to stand against, it means to stand for. And if there were ever a point in the history of our great nation that the church needs to stand for something, it's right now. The church must stand for godly principles and godly standards in a growing godless society. The church must stand for the law of God above the law of the land. And when the law of the land goes against the law of our God, we have to take a stand against those laws, no matter the consequences. The day is coming. It's upon us. We must take a stand. But let's go back to this question. What is the status and the condition of the church in this hour of history? In this hour of history where the world and the culture is so troubled. See, the one thing we can't do is ignore the trouble, and the last thing we should do is add to the trouble. Are you with me? See, too many believers and too many churches are adding to the trouble. If you have social media, you're an eyewitness. to it. Be careful what you post. Be careful what you say. If you didn't pray over it, don't post it. I said, if you didn't seek godly wisdom before you pushed sin, you made a mistake. Pray before you post. Oh, goodness, somebody. Come on, Pastor. Woo! I could end the sermon right there. Pray before you speak. In verse 3, Nehemiah's question was answered. They said the remnant is in great trouble. And I believe that the church is in great trouble in this hour of history. But never lose sight that we serve a great God who is greater than all of our troubles. And in verse 2, Nehemiah also questioned the status and the condition of Jerusalem, his nation. Verse 3 says, the walls were broken down and the gates were burned down. These walls serve as protection. We'll talk more about the walls next week. But without walls, the nation of Jerusalem is in great trouble. Come on, put on spiritual ears just for a moment. Without walls, without standards, the great nation of America is in great trouble. It's no question that the condition of our great nation is in great trouble in this hour of history. It's not a question. But it's our response to the trouble that will determine the outcome that's before us. It's our response as a church to the troubles that are before our nation that will determine our outcome. Listen, it's not in response to culture. It's not in response to secular society. It's in response to the church. So our nation is ultimately in the hands of the church. So what do we need to do? Oh, come on. We need to call on God in this hour of history. Psalms 50:15 in the Voice translation says, when you're in trouble, call for me. Come on, church. This is an invitation from God. God says, call me. Turn to your neighbor and say, call me. Call me, bro. Somebody's picking up somebody right now. Hit me up, girl. But listen, this isn't a cheesy pickup line. And God isn't wanting something from us. He's wanting something for us. And he invites us to call on him in the midst of our troubles. Church, we need to call on God in the midst of our troubles. We need to take this verse literally. Believers and churches have to call on God. As troubles surmount, call on God. Because when troubles seem near, God is near. We need to call on God. As the election of 2020 rapidly approaches, we need to call on God. Believers need to call on God. Because only God can get us out of the trouble we're in. Call on God. Churches and believers must call on God in prayer, because prayer is our only answer to the troubles that surround us. Call on God. Can somebody call on God this morning? Because we're in real trouble. Somebody dial 911. We have an emergency down here. Heaven, we have a problem. Some of you will get that later. In fact, why don't someone get God on a Zoom call? Because we're in real trouble, y'all. Call on God. When in trouble, who are you going to call? When in trouble, call on God. When in trouble, pray. See, prayer should be our response to troubles. In fact, prayer should be our response to everything. When in trouble, pray. When everything's okay, pray. When you're having a good day, when you're having a bad day, when everything's not going your way, and then they'll go his way, pray, call on God. The church must call on God right now, in this moment. Verse 4, when I heard these things, Nehemiah said, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Point number one, a troubled nation needs a burdened church. I said, a troubled nation needs a burdened church. Think about Nehemiah's initial response to the things that he heard. The Bible says that he sat and he wept. There's a time to sit. Think about it. For days, he mourned, he fasted, and he prayed. But listen, it was more than just a few days. This turned into 4 months. Everyone say 4 months. For 4 months, Nehemiah sat, he mourned, he fasted, and he prayed. Nehemiah had a great burden for his great nation, Jerusalem. Church, we need a great burden for our great nation, America, today. Most of us would say we love our country. How many of you would say, I love America? Come on, let me see your hands. I love America. But answer this, do you love America as much as Nehemiah loved Jerusalem? Church, he stopped eating. I said he stopped eating. He loved Jerusalem more than he loved food. That's a real burden. I wonder how many Americans are fasting for America right now. Do you love America as much as Nehemiah loved Jerusalem? Do you love America more than you love American fast food? Some of you can't even answer that. We need a real burden like Nehemiah. See, Nehemiah was so burdened by the condition of his nation that he could no longer ignore it. Church, we can no longer ignore the condition of our great nation, the moral condition, the spiritual condition of our great nation. We can no longer ignore it. And listen, I love America more than just about anyone. I'm proud to be an American. But the more corrupt America becomes, the more burdened I become as a pastor. Church, we need a real burden for America because America is in real trouble. Verse 5. Then I said, O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of unfailing love with those who love him and obey him. Obey his commands. Verse 6, listen to my prayer. Look down and see me praying night and day for your people, Israel. Nehemiah had a real burden for Israel, and his burden led him to pray night and day. Nehemiah had a national burden that led him to continual prayer. Church, we need a national burden that leads us to continual prayer. But think about it. Nehemiah is just one man with a burden. Imagine that if the church as a whole had a national burden that led us to continual prayer. Imagine on September the 26th, just a week ago, Reverend Franklin Graham, Billy Graham's son, held a prayer march in Washington, D.C. with an estimated 50,000 believers showed up in person and lined the streets of our capital in prayer, while over 1 million joined worldwide in prayer. There are people rising up all over the world with a great burden for our great nation. And guess who showed up at Prayer March 2020? Vice President Mike Pence. With no agenda. He wasn't campaigning. He showed up simply to pray. Because our vice president, Mike Pence, has a great burden for our great nation. And our vice president knows that our great nation is in great trouble. So he showed up to pray, to set the example for our nation. We must call on God in this moment, an hour of history. He wasn't campaigning. He was simply praying. Point number two. We need less campaigning from our politicians and more praying from our politicians. I said we need less campaigning politicians and more praying politicians. We need less campaigning in America today and more praying in America today. We need less campaigning in the church and more praying in the church. See, America is at a crossroads today, and we're in real trouble. And no politician is our hope or answer. I don't care who they are. No politician is our hope or our answer. Our only hope is God, and our only answer is prayer. So we must call on God in prayer in this moment. Right now, we're headed for destruction, but prayer will lead us in the right direction. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their lands. We need to call on God. In this moment, we need to call on God. The Church of America must pray for America. It's time to rise up. Believers, it's time to stand up. It's time to pray. We can no longer be silent. We can no longer sit back. We can no longer ignore the condition of our great nation. We must pray. It's time to pray. See, we need to do less protesting in the church and more rallying, less campaigning and more praying. Because a troubled nation needs a praying church. The prayer march of 2020 wasn't a protest, it was a rally. 50,000 believers rallied together in prayer. And guess what? Nothing was destroyed. There was no violence. Nothing was burned whatsoever. They simply showed up and prayed. But a statement was made. And that statement is point number three. A nation in trouble needs a church in prayer. Amen. Amen. A nation in trouble needs a church in prayer. And so 50,000 rallied in prayer. It wasn't a political rally, it was a prayer rally. This is the only way to rally in prayer. As believers, we must come together and rally in prayer over our nation and the upcoming election. Can you imagine that if the next 30 days we rallied together in prayer? I'm talking about not just Crossroads, but the big church. That believers and churches across this country rallied together in prayer for our nation and for the upcoming election. Only God can get us out of the trouble we're in. We must rally together in prayer. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8. The Bible says, in every way we're troubled, but we aren't crushed by our troubles. We're frustrated, but we don't give up. Many are not only troubled, but frustrated by the condition of our great nation. How many are not only troubled, but frustrated? I'll be real with you this morning. I am not only troubled by the condition of our great nation, I am frustrated. But listen, my troubles and my frustrations don't lead me to giving up. It leads me to looking up. It doesn't lead me to giving up on America. It leads me to looking up to God in this moment. So I'm looking up to God. And I'm calling out our great nation to God in prayer. In Psalms 50:15, in the Living Bible, God says, trust me in times of trouble. It's almost like a question. Will you trust me in times of trouble? See, we once lived in a nation that declared, in God we trust. But this is no longer our declaration as a nation. We removed this declaration as a nation, and the church just sat back and watched. But like with Israel, when God is removed, troubles surmount. So why is America so troubled today? Because we removed God. And so it's time for the church to declare once again, in God we trust. And it's time for the church to begin to pray once again, God bless America in this hour of history. It's time for the church to stand up and to rise up and to call on the name of God and to declare that we are a nation that trusts in God. It's time. I feel like I'm running for president. It's time for the church to stand up. To set the example. To regain our country. To return it to its biblical roots. And return it to its foundation. In God we trust. No other name but Him. In Romans chapter 5, verse 3, Paul said, even when we're hemmed in with troubles, we continue to shout our praise.
That's right.
See, even when we're hemmed in with troubles, we continue to shout our praise to our God. Troubles should lead us to pray, and troubles should lead us to praise. I said, troubles should lead us to pray, and troubles should lead us to praise. See, praying says, God, I want to trust you. But praising says, God, I do trust you. So through my troubles and my frustrations, I'm going to look up to God in prayer, but I'm going to lift my hands up to God in praise because I trust Him. I trust Him in this moment. I trust that He knows best. I trust that He's in the lead. I trust that He's going to make a way. I trust that He's going to show up for us. I trust Him regardless of the troubles that I'm facing. So in the midst of troubles, in the midst of frustration, not only do we need to pray, we need to praise. Because listen, believer, most of the time, the only way through is through. You have to pray through and you have to praise through. And God is looking for some believers right now in this moment of history that will praise through. That will praise through the troubles that we're facing, that will praise through the troubles that this great nation is facing, that will praise through the battles and the difficulties and the situations that we're facing. He's looking for some believers that are willing to stand up and praise through in this moment. Will you praise through? For the remaining part of this sermon, I want to take it from a national level to an individual level. Paul said, in every way we are troubled. And I have a feeling some of you can relate this morning. How many of you feel troubled in every single way? See, being a believer doesn't mean being free from troubles. According to Paul, it means being surrounded my troubles. Troubled in every way. But notice that this verse says, we're troubled, but we're not crushed. See, trouble can frustrate us, but it can't crush us. It can shape us, but it can't define us. Jesus said, let not your hearts be troubled. So let not your hearts be troubled in the midst of a troublesome time. Let not your hearts be troubled when you're facing troubles on every side. Let not your heart be troubled, believer. Because although troubles are around us, maybe even surround us, let not your hearts be troubled. See, we need to let our troubles and our frustrations lead us to praise. Because the one thing we know as believers is that we have the ultimate and the final victory in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Can somebody praise God in this moment? We have the victory in Christ Jesus. You have the victory, believer. Come on, you can just keep standing. You're giving me energy. So even though we're surrounded by troubles on every side, as believers, we have the ultimate victory in Christ Jesus. But guess what? Victory doesn't mean we'll win every battle. It means we win the war. And so in this world, believer, we're going to lose many battles. I said, you're going to lose many battles in this world. And at times it feels like that evil is winning. But although evil might win this battle, and a secular sinful world might win a battle here and there, and I'm going to take it a step further, culture will win battles in this world. But church culture will never win the war. Evil will never win the war. A secular, sinful world will never win the war. Because remember, these battles are temporary and they're earthly. And so let the world celebrate for a day. Let culture celebrate for a season. Because you and I can look forward to celebrating every day for all eternity. Because we have the final victory in Christ Jesus. We have the ultimate victory. And so no matter if the devil wins a few battles here and there, we have the final victory. And so we can celebrate and we can give praise in the midst of troublesome times. And we can give praise in the midst of all of our troubles. And we can give praise even though we're surrounded by troubles. And we can praise God even though our nation is troubled and our culture is troubled. But it's time for the church to rise up and begin to praise Him through this troublesome times. And as we do, we're going to see God show up and do what only He can do. Praise Him through your troubles. Will you just begin to praise Him right now all over the sanctuary? Praise Him because He's worthy. He's worthy to be praised.